We're going to step away from our promised land journey today for just a short break, but we are going to be rejoining them in September. We're not just going to leave our children, the children of Israel, wandering in the wilderness, but we are going to see a tiny fraction of those people inherit the promise. And so we're going to pick that back up. But for today, the Lord has spoken something else in particular for me to share with you. Last week, Pastor Todd was here. He preached our men's conference. He stayed over until Sunday morning. And I want to encourage you right now, men, if you missed, or anybody, actually, the messages he preached for the men's conference were excellent for anyone to listen to. And his Sunday morning message as well. So if you missed any of his messages, please go on our website. They've been posted up there, and take a minute to watch the messages that he preached. But last week, he preached a message on Sunday morning, which emphasized the importance of running our race to the finish. It was a great encouragement to us. Well, prior to last Sunday, the Lord had already breathed some thoughts into my spirit along the same lines. So last week's message today will be two messages that are now going to be preached back to back with a similar theme. Remember in the New Testament when Jesus said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, he repeated something twice. It was a strong indicator that he was trying to get an important message across to the people. So today's message and last week's message together is verily, verily, truly, truly, listen up, listen up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you, and we just are so grateful for your mercy and your grace. We're so grateful for your love. We're so grateful for your care, and we're so grateful for your word. Now, Father, I ask you to open our ears today. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, not what I'm saying, but what the Spirit of God is saying, Lord, and give us the boldness and the courage to act accordingly, God. God, give me this morning the ability to deliver this message with the same passion and urgency in which you gave it to me. In Jesus' strong name we pray, amen. So on the last day of my vacation, I was taking a drive down to Humble to visit my family. And in the quietness of the car that day, that quietness gave me an opportunity for a really great God conversation. I was making some comments to God on the drive down, reflecting on the year 2020, on this 2020 season. Now, it could have been, maybe it's possible that my comments were expressing a little bit of weariness. Could have been, maybe, a little bit of fatigue with this whole 2020 series, year, season. It could have been. It's possible, okay? It's possible I was expressing a little bit of displeasure over 2020. And I heard him speak into my spirit so clearly. Can you go a little further? Can you go a little further? Now, it wasn't a voice of condemnation. It wasn't a voice of impatience. Can't you go a little further? It wasn't a voice of correction. It felt like a voice of sincerity and concern. It's as if he had been sitting there right by me listening, and I know that he had been. And as I'm talking and expressing my heart, he's just shaking his head. You know, when you sit with somebody and you tell them how you're feeling, and they just shake their head. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah, I understand. This is the way it felt like in the car that day. That as I was expressing, he was just sitting there, listening, validating my concerns, understanding that it had been a difficult season. And at the end of that, he was saying, can you go a little further? Well, I drove in silence the rest of the way, really contemplating contemplating his question to me and the significance of what my answer would be. Now, this is a very important question for us to ask in this season because many have already indicated they cannot go any further. You've already heard it. I'm done. I'm out. I just can't. I'm over it. And we've all seen the many memes about the 2020 season. They've been everywhere. The most recent one was a roll of toilet paper that looked like a grater. And said if 2020 was toilet paper and showed the picture of like a grater. We've all seen them. They've been pretty horrific. Everywhere there have been people that are saying, I'm done, I'm over it. According to the New York Post, 272 police officers filed for retirement in the 30 days following the George Floyd incident. This is one city in one department. According to a Time magazine poll, 20% of teachers across the nation have said they are not likely to return to teaching when school opens this fall. 20% of teachers across the nation represents thousands of gifted educators. And just this week, bringing much heartbreak to many women, Steinmart announced that it would close all 281 stores in 30 states, leaving 9,000 employees out of work. I'm sorry, Linda, you hadn't heard that. Jesus, help her. I've had a few days to digest that news, but I know. Steinmart, the retail giant, is closing after 112 years in the business. And the church community is not immune to these types of decisions. In a most surprising announcement, a large well-known church in Georgia made the decision to forego its scheduled reopening. It was going to reopen on August the 9th. And it made the decision and has announced that it will remain closed to in-person worship for the remainder of 2020. Now, I'm not questioning the police officers. I'm not questioning the teachers. I'm not questioning the business owners or the pastors who've made these decisions. Their decisions are their journey. I'm bringing them to you today as examples of people who have answered our question, can you go a little further, with a resounding no in some area of their life. But what about us? What about me? What about you? What was Jesus asking me in the car that day? Well, I've had some time to think about it. I've had some time to pray about it. And I've come to these clear conclusions. First, I do not believe that God is sitting in heaven just waiting for 2020 to pass so he can get on with his kingdom plans. I believe he has incredible purpose for September, October, November, and December on his heavenly planner. I do not believe that we, as the body of Christ at Cornerstone, are to sit on our hands and just wait out 2020. Nor do I believe that we should be praying for an escape from 2020. I do not believe that 2020 is a lost cause. I see all 122 days of these last 4 months of the year exploding with power, exploding with promise and potential for the body of Christ. If we are courageous enough to say yes to Jesus' question. If we're willing to hear his instruction, if we're willing to change our perspective and our prayers, if we will begin to bless 2020, bless our days instead of cursing them, if we will open our eyes to how we can redeem 2020 instead of retire it, If we will realize that God is endeavoring in this season to grow us, to mature us in ways that can only happen if we are stretched and pressed and made uncomfortable. There are ways that we can only grow in uncomfortable times. Instead of whining about it, grow up and accept God trying to change you and help you. If we can go a little further, I know that God will give us great victory and breakthrough. I'm confident of this because I perceive that we are in an exceptionally good position in the body of Christ. She's like, how can you say that? Well, let me explain. Remember last fall. Remember as we approached the 2020 year. Remember that prophetic sense of what God was speaking to us, and not just us, but everyone across the body of Christ, kingdom wide. What he was speaking was that just as 2020 in the natural represents perfect vision. If you have 20/20 vision naturally, your vision is perfect. Well, just as that is in the natural, 2020, the year he spoke to us, that 2020, the year was going to be a year of perfect and clear vision spiritually. How many of you remember that? How many of you have that witness in your heart? You remember that? We were so happy to hear that. Well, that prophetic word has certainly come true. 2020 has brought us the clearest spiritual vision to see exactly all the strategies and schemes of our enemy. Maybe that's not what we were hoping for when we were praying for spiritual 2020 vision, but this is what God has given us. It's no longer guesswork. Our enemy, the devil, he's no longer hiding in secret organizations. He's no longer cloaked in secret agendas. He's no longer hidden behind closed doors. He's actively engaging right out in the open where we can see him. In 2020, our Father has given us discernment. We have clear spiritual vision to see the chaos that the enemy is causing. Our enemy is clearly seen. He's seen in the agendas of political parties. He is clearly seen in the reporting of news agencies. He's clearly seen in the deception of world governments. He's clearly seen in the lies of elected officials. And he's clearly seen in the violence and the lawlessness on street corners all over America. He's not trying to cover himself. He doesn't care. He's right in our face every day. But we're not discouraged. We're not downcast. We're not fearful because of his frenetic activity. Our hearts are filled with hope because we are confident in our God. We know that we are more than conquerors. We know that God is going to complete the good work that he started. We know that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, and no weapon is going to prosper against the body of Christ. No weapon formed will prosper. No weapon. God has promised in his word that where sin or iniquity, when you see that increased, when evil is prevalent, grace abounds all the more. Grace abounds. Grace. There is more grace than sin. There is more grace than evil. There is more power, more promise, more potential. Have you stopped to realize and to think of the truth that if you can see evil so clearly, if it's increased to the point where it is so visible, how much more should we be looking for and seeing the grace of God? We should be seeing grace everywhere because grace is greater. Are you hearing me? Grace is greater. Instead of looking at the evil, look for the grace. Look for the grace. Look where God is working, where He's empowering people. Grace is greater. It exposes lies. It uncovers deception. It forgives lawlessness. It heals diseases and it sets captives free. 2020 clear vision has been given to the church, and we can clearly see, we can clearly discern what is good and what is evil. And with clear discernment, people can choose. Choose this day who you're going to serve. How will you answer his question? Can you go a little further? Now, this question of his is not new. He asked this question of his followers during his earthly ministry. And quickly, we're going to look at three examples in Scripture where Jesus asked followers, can you go a little further? Bob, I'm going to need that water. And I apologize, I'm going to have to shed that jacket. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now, this is the very beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. At this point, he has not even called his disciples. And yet he's asking them from the get-go, can you go a little further? The men have fished already all night long. They are done. They are on the shore. They are cleaning their nets. All they want to do is clean their nets, dock their boats, go home, and get some sleep. Such is the attitude of many in the church. You'll get that after a while. It's been long. We've worked hard. Let's just wrap things up and let's go home. But there's one detail of this story for the fishermen and for the church that cannot be overlooked. The net is empty. We are not going home with empty nets. Jesus shows up on the shore to teach, and he gets in the boat so that he'll have a little better platform from which to address the people. And even this delay for Simon, accommodating a traveling rabbi, remember he was not a disciple at this point, but accommodating a traveling rabbi for his morning session, probably made Simon and the others roll their eyes, but they politely did offer their boat. They could have even nodded off while Jesus was teaching. His steady voice, the gentle breeze, the rocking of the boat on the water. They've been all night long fishing. After Jesus gave his instructions to get back out in the water and to go even further than you did before, go out in your debt, out in the deep, and let down your net. Now, Simon, he's the leader here, and he's faced with a decision. feeling that fatigue in his own body. He's looking around at the disciples, and he sees weariness on all of their faces. And he politely addresses Jesus. "Hey, look, mister, we already toiled all night." Now, toiled, this word means hard and continuous work, exhausting labor or effort. Simon is saying, "Hey, we weren't just out sailing last night, but all night through the darkness, through the wind, through the waves, through the night storms, through the sand and the sea and the salt, we've already worked really hard." But Jesus says, "Can you go a little further? Can you go a little further in obedience? Are you willing to launch out even deeper?" This is what he's asking us today. Are you willing to launch out even deeper in your walk with me? I know you've been at this a long time. I know that you feel been there, done that. Jesus is asking the fishermen to repeat exactly what they've already done. Sometimes we miss that. When Jesus asks us to do something new, sometimes, well, we get excited about that, a new adventure, a new place. But when he asks us to return and repeat, "Lord, I've already called them. Lord, I've already taught a class. Lord, I've already worked in children's ministries. I've already fasted. Lord, I've already volunteered. I've already. But at your word," Simon says, "because you ask, Jesus, will I go further? I will." And what was the result? Breakthrough. Literally. A net that was breaking through because the harvest was so great. A little further in obedience produced a great harvest. Can you go a little further in obedience today? In Luke 18:18, Jesus meets what the Bible describes as a rich young ruler. It says, "And a ruler asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus responds by rehearsing the commandments that are written in the law." Well, don't commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your father and your mother. And then the ruler responds, "Oh, I'm doing all of that. As a matter of fact, I was raised in a Christian home. I've been doing that since I was a child." Then Jesus looks at him and he sees him. And the parallel in the book of Mark adds, Jesus loved him. Jesus knows, as far as religion goes, this man has followed every commandment. He's crossed every T, he's dotted every I, and in society's view, this guy has it all together. And this guy is a shoo-in for eternal life. But Jesus says, yes, I see all the efforts that you've made to present the perfect package. You've met everyone's expectations. Now, can you go a little further? Can you die to yourself so that you can live every day with me? Can you go a little further in sacrifice to become truly intimate with me? Verse 22, Jesus instructs him, "Sell all you have, distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Sacrifice, Jesus is asking. Lay down what's important to you. Lay down what you value. Give away instead of holding on so tightly. Now, this man's support system was his wealth and his position. We all have something. Yours is different. Maybe yours is wealth and position. But maybe yours is something else. A job, status in the community, a family. Is there something that you're holding on to in your life tighter than you're holding on to Jesus? Jesus told the man, let go of your security. Make this sacrifice. Then here's what I have for you. An invitation. Come and follow me. When Jesus healed, we've read many instances in the Bible. When he healed or he set an individual free from demonic bondage, many times, out of gratitude, that person would ask if they could come along with Jesus, many times, and they wanted to be part of his team. But Jesus encouraged them, no, go back to your home, go back to your family, go back to your village, live for me there, be a witness to me there. But here, with this man, Jesus told him to go, sell, distribute, and then come back. Come back and follow me. He was issuing an invitation to this man. It's the same invitation that he gives to us today. Come, lay down whatever you're holding on to. Come and follow. If you can stretch a little further, if you can go a little further in sacrifice, if you can move beyond religion to relationship, you'll have true intimacy with me. Jesus sees all the good that you're doing. He sees you've memorized the Ten Commandments. He sees that every day you check off your daily Bible reading schedule. You click it off on your phone. He sees you bless your food every time you eat. He sees you carefully counting out your 10% tithe. But he's asking us today, can you go a little further in sacrifice? Can you spend 2 hours in prayer instead of one? Can you give a generous offering to the benevolence or the mission fund in addition to your 10%? Can you fast a whole 24 hours instead of one meal? Can you set down your phone and pick up your keys to go visit a lonely man who's sheltering at home? Anytime we sacrifice or we put to death something we desire for something he desires, our relationship with him moves to another level, a more intimate and a more personal level. Can you go a little further in sacrifice today? Verse 23 records that this young man could not. I pray that we can. Our final example today of Jesus encouraging us to go further with him comes from Acts chapter 10. You know the story. Peter's in prayer. And like us, sometimes we can get distracted when we're in prayer. Today he's distracted because his tummy starts rumbling. He's hungry. And so he's asked them to prepare him something to eat. And while they're doing that, the word tells us that he has a vision, Acts chapter 10, verse 11 through 16. He fell into a trance and he saw the heavens opened and something like a sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there's a voice that comes to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once into heaven. Jesus was definitely asking Peter the question, can you go a little further? Peter, can you push beyond your religious upbringing? Can you push beyond your education and your religious experience? Can you set aside what you have been taught, what you have been indoctrinated with in your mind? Can you break through your boundaries and your mindset to entertain for just a moment the thought that this is a new and different season, and I have a new revelation for you? Can you set aside your old wineskin and walk a little further to receive a new wineskin that will ultimately open doors with powerful opportunities and encounters for you all over the nation? Can you, Peter? Can you? But Lord, I've never done this before. Lord, we've never done church like that before. Lord, our nation has never looked this unstable before. I've never, they've never, we've never. I know it's scary. Things never experienced before. Situations that we've never encountered before can be quite unsettling. I'm sure the day of Pentecost with wind and sound and fire and loud voices and unknown languages, I'm sure that was quite scary. But if it had been rejected by the church just because it was new and scary, where would the church be? 2020 has been new and scary. I get it. But 2020 cannot be rejected. 2020 must be redeemed. These are the days, every one of them. These are the days the Lord has made, and we must rejoice in every one of them. How dare we call these days common? God told Peter, don't call something I've created as common. We cannot call the days of 2020 common. We cannot reject them because they make us uncomfortable or because they challenge us. God breathed his Ruah breath into every day of 2020 back before the foundation of the world was ever created. And he breathed his spirit, and he breathed his potential, and he breathed his purpose into every single day. And he brought you here. You are living out these days. And if you didn't have power, if you didn't have potential, if you didn't have promise, if you didn't have a reason to be here, he would take the breath right out of you and take you on to home. But he's left you here because there's a reason. There's a reason. We redeem these days, every one of them. We must return. Think back. Think back to the fall. Think back to January and February before the chaos hit. Think back to the hope that was in your heart. Think back to the promises that you have received at that time. Think back to the potential that was in your heart. We have to return to those original prophecies, to those original promises, and to that potential and that power that God breathed into this season. God has already provided. He has already provided every single thing that you need. Everything that you need to endure, to overcome, to take authority over, to be victorious, to win. Every single thing has already been provided for you. If you've had a setback, I know that 2020 has caused some setbacks for some families. I know there's been economic setback. I know that there's been emotional setbacks. I know that some of you have suffered from the virus. If you've lost any single thing, then cry out to God for restoration. And I decree that he will bring it back to you. He will bring back everything that was lost in 2020. He will restore it to you with more power and more promise and more resources, a better job, more emotionally stable family, divine health and strength, everything that has been a setback to you. He will bring restoration. If you can just go a little further with Jesus, if we can go a little further with Jesus in obedience, We can have breakthrough with a great harvest. If you can go a little further with Jesus in sacrifice, you can experience deeper intimacy with Him in your relationship. If you can go a little further with Jesus in breaking down our barriers and our preconceived mindsets, you can have new revelation. You can see possibilities for kingdom adventures, which we've only dreamed about to this point. Are you willing? Are you willing this morning to go further with Jesus? Will you dare to believe with me that 2020 has promise yet unfulfilled? Will you dare to hope again that we are living in the greatest days of church history and the opportunity for growth and maturity, breakthrough and revival? It's just around the corner. It's there. If you will dare to go a little further. Will you stand on your feet this morning? Will you bow your heads with me? We just pray in the Holy Ghost today. We need to stir up those tongues in our life. Many of you, I feel, have just set that down, set it to the side because of weariness or discouragement. I just want you to pray right now all over this building. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. I want you to be loud and proud about it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we recognize your Ruah breath on every single day. We recognize your promises. We recognize your potential, God. We remember the prophetic words that we have received, and we thank you. We thank you that they have been fulfilled. We thank you that we have clear vision. We thank you that we know. We thank you that we don't have to guess at what the enemy is doing. We thank you for the revelation that has been given to us, God. And Father, today we ask you to fill us once again. We cannot go another step further without the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We must be empowered. We must be strengthened. We must have a greater measure of your Spirit today. Here in this building and you that are watching us at home, this is not just a message that I can say, okay, I'm going to pray over you now and you can go home. This message demands a response. Whether you are here in the building or you at home, I want to encourage you right now to respond to the voice of Jesus as he calls you to go a little further. These altars are open right now. You can come to the front, or if you're not comfortable with gathering at the altar, then you can turn around and make an altar at your seat. But you have been asked this question. As sure as I was in that car today, Jesus is standing right here and he's walking down these aisles and he's standing in front of every one of you and he's shaking his head. Yes, I understand. Yes, I know it's been hard. Yes, I know it's been a challenge. But can you go a little further? Can you go a little farther? I want you to move now. I want you to respond in some way right now. I want you to move. Hallelujah. We're going to worship in just a moment, but right now I want you to answer Jesus. He's waiting. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us for cursing 2020. Lord, forgive us for making fun of 2020. Lord, forgive us for trying to hide from 2020. Lord, forgive us for trying to run away and escape from 2020. Lord, forgive us that we have pushed back what you have given to us to use and to utilize. Lord, forgive us. Lord, we repent. We repent of cursing it. We repent of turning our backs from it. We repent of pushing away the plate of food that you gave us to eat, Lord, and saying, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to do that. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us and wash us clean today, Lord. We will embrace your ways. We will embrace your ways. We don't have to understand them to embrace them. We don't have to be able to reason them all out to embrace them, Lord. But we follow you in faith, God. We follow you in faith, Lord, and we receive what you have for us, and we receive it with thanksgiving, Lord. We are so grateful that you are care enough to want to grow us and to mature us. We are so grateful, Lord, that you're challenging us, Lord, and that you're giving us opportunity to grow and to be useful, Lord, for your kingdom, to make a difference, God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for every day, for every opportunity. I thank you for every hardship. I thank you for every challenge, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Thank you for a second chance, Lord. Thank you for a second chance at redemption, Lord. Thank you for a second chance at redemption, God. If you're in the building today, or if you're watching us by live stream and you don't know Jesus, you can know him. It's very simple. You needed a Savior. He came to be the Savior. He gave his life on the cross. He shed his blood so that you could be born again, so that you could be redeemed. Just as I talked about redeeming the year 2020, we all needed personal redemption. He died for you so that you could be redeemed. I want to pray for you today. It's very simple to receive him. You just pray a simple prayer. You admit that you're a sinner and that you need him. You admit that there isn't anything you can do on your own to become righteous. You admit and you believe that his blood paid your sin. You confess that you need him. You ask him to wash your sins away. It's as simple as that. We're going to pray with you. Lord Jesus, if you're in your home or if you're here in this building and you need Jesus, just quietly repeat it after me. There's nothing magic in the prayer. It's just a confession. Lord Jesus, I was in terrible shape. I couldn't help myself. There's no way I could get myself out of the pit. I thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, that he came to be my rescuer, that he came to be my redeemer. I thank you that he suffered in terrible agony for me, and he died on that cross. But every drop of his blood now I apply to my life. I thank you because that blood brings me divine health. I thank you because that blood brings me a divine redemption. I thank you that that blood makes me whole in my body, in my spirit, and in my soul. Cover me now with that blood. Write my name in that book. I receive you as my Savior today, and I thank you for calling me, for choosing me. If you prayed that prayer today at home, we want to know, we want to give you some resources to provide some things that can help you. If you prayed that prayer here in the sanctuary, just let us know afterwards. We want to pray with you personally.